The first event that gave rise to one of the two data I mentioned, which became the vivifying sources for nourishing and perfecting my deceased grandmother's injunction, occurred just at the age when I changed from a chubby mite into what is called a young rascal, and had already begun, as is sometimes said, to be a candidate for a young man of pleasing appearance and dubious content. And this event occurred under the following circumstances, which were perhaps even specially combined by fate. One day, with a number of young rascals like myself, I was setting snares for pigeons on the roof of a neighbor's house, when suddenly one of the boys who was standing over me and watching me closely said, "I think the horsehair noose ought to be set so that the pigeon's big toe never gets caught in it, because as our zoology teacher recently explained to us, it is just in that toe that the pigeon's reserve strength is concentrated. And of course, if this big toe gets caught in the noose, the pigeon might easily break it." Another boy, leaning over just opposite me, from whose mouth, by the way, whenever he spoke, saliva always splashed abundantly in all directions, snapped at this remark of the first boy and delivered himself, with a copious shower of saliva, of the following words: "Shut your trap, you hopeless mongrel offshoot of the Hottentots. What an abortion you are, just like your teacher. Even if it's true that the pigeon's greatest physical force is concentrated in its big toe, then all the more reason for seeing that just that toe gets caught in the noose. Only then can there be any importance for our aim, that is, catching these unfortunate pigeon creatures, in a certain particularity proper to all possessors of that soft and slippery something, the brain, which consists in this, that when, thanks to the action of other influences, on which its insignificant power of manifestation depends, there arises what is called a change of presence, periodically necessary according to law, the slight confusion that should precede for the intensification of other manifestations of the general functioning, immediately enables the center of gravity of the whole organism, in which the slippery something plays a very small part, to shift temporarily from its usual place to another place, and this often leads to unexpected results in the general functioning, ridiculous to the point of absurdity." He discharged the last words with such a shower of saliva that it was as if my face had been exposed to one of those atomizers, not of ersatz production, invented by the Germans to spray material with aniline dyes. This was more than I could endure, and without changing my squatting position, I flung myself at him headfirst, hitting him full force in the pit of the stomach, which instantly laid him out flat and made him, as is said, lose consciousness. I do not know or wish to know what results will be formed in your mentation on learning about the strange convergence of life circumstances I will now describe. But for my mentation, this coincidence provided material for reinforcing my belief that all the events that occurred in my youth, far from being simply the results of chance, were created intentionally by certain extraneous forces. The point is that this dexterity had been taught me very thoroughly only a few days before this event by a Greek priest from Turkey, who, persecuted by the Turks for his political convictions, had been compelled to flee from there, and on arriving in our town, had been engaged by my parents to teach me the modern Greek language. I do not know on what he based his political convictions and ideas, but I remember very well that in all our conversations, even when he was explaining the difference between ancient and modern Greek exclamations, it was apparent that this Greek priest was always dreaming of getting to the island of Crete as soon as possible and manifesting himself there as befits a true patriot. Well then, on beholding the effect of my skill, I was, I must confess, extremely frightened, because knowing nothing about such a reaction to a blow in that place, I was quite sure I had killed him. While I was experiencing this fear, another boy, a cousin of the one who had become the first victim of my, so to say, skill in self-defense, Seeing what I had done, and obviously overcome by a feeling called consanguinity, without a moment's pause, leapt at me and with a wide swing punched me in the jaw. From this blow, I saw stars, as he said, and at the same time, my mouth felt as full as if it had been stuffed with enough food for the artificial fattening of 1,000 chickens. After a little while, when both these strange sensations had calmed down within me, I discovered that there actually was some foreign substance in my mouth. And when I pulled it out with my fingers, it turned out to be nothing less than a tooth of large dimensions and strange form. Seeing me staring at this extraordinary tooth, all the boys swarmed around me and also began staring at it with great curiosity and in deep silence. By this time, the boy who had been laid out flat recovered, and picking himself up, also began to stare at my tooth with the other boys, just as if nothing had happened to him. This strange tooth had 7 prongs, and at the end of each of them, a drop of blood stood out in relief, and through each separate drop, there shone clearly and distinctly one of the 7 aspects of the manifestation of the white ray. After this silence, rare among us yet rascals, the usual hubbub broke out again, and in noisy chorus, we decided to go at once to the barber, a specialist in extracting teeth, and to ask him why this tooth was like that. So we all clambered down from the roof and went off to the barber's. And I, as the hero of the day, stalked at the head of them all. The barber, after a casual glance, said it was simply a wisdom tooth, and that all members of the male sex have one like it. That is, all those who, up to the time when they can say Papa and Mama, are fed exclusively on their own mother's milk, and who are able at first sight to pick out from many others the face of their own father. From all the effects of this event, in which my poor wisdom tooth became a complete sacrifice, not only did my consciousness begin, from that time onward, to absorb on every occasion the very essence of the essence of my deceased grandmother's behest, may she attain the kingdom of heaven. But also because I did not go to a qualified dentist to have the socket of my former tooth treated, which, as a matter of fact, I could not do since we lived too far from any contemporary center of culture, a something began to ooze chronically from this socket, which had the property, as was only recently explained to me by a famous meteorologist with whom I chanced to become bosom friends during frequent meetings in the all-night restaurants of Montmartre, of arousing an interest in and a tendency to seek out the causes of every suspicious actual fact. And this property, not transmitted by heredity to my common presence, gradually and automatically led to my becoming a specialist in the investigation of every suspicious phenomenon that, as so often happened, came my way. And when, of course, with the cooperation of our all-common master, the merciless Heropas, that is to say, the flow of time, I was transformed into the young man I have already described, this new property became a real, indistinguishable hearth, always burning, of consciousness.